Well, good morning, KCPC High School Ministry. Can I hear a yo?
Yo!
Awesome. While on the subject of yo, I've just got to say, yo, my bum is sore. I stacked it last night playing soccer on the concrete and smacked my tailbone, and I can't really sit down anymore. It takes a while to get out of bed, took a while to walk down here, but I'm okay. I'll soldier on because I'm tough. I might pray that God would really help us this morning as we look at the Bible and we think about our next purpose. How about you pray with me? Our gracious God, we thank you that we can gather this morning. We thank you that we've been gathered by the blood of Jesus. We thank you that He is our King. We thank you that He is our Lord. We thank you that He is our Saviour. And we pray that we would trust Him. And we pray that you keep working in us, that we would grow to become more like Him. And we pray this morning as we think about giving in service of each other, that you'd help us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, that you'd help us to keep trusting Him, and please help us as we hear from your word, please give us ears to hear it, please give us eyes to understand it, and we pray that by your Spirit you would change us as we hear from your word now. Please keep us attentive, please keep us awake, and please help us to encourage each other. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, welcome to the planet. What's the next question after that? Why am I here? Welcome to the planet. Why am I here? There's the question we've been asking. Why do I exist? Why do you exist? We're on page 16, I think, in the booklets there, if you want to take some notes. If you're not going to take notes, just look up and look at the Bible when we need to look at the Bible. But there's the question. Why do I exist? What's my purpose in life? What is God's will for me? What does God desire for me to do from the cradle to the grave? That is, you've got a pretty short life. Maybe 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, 80 years is a pretty long life. But in the big picture of eternity, that's a short, short time. It's just a little scratch on the screen. It's just a little pixel on your computer screen. That's how small our lives are. And so what do we do while we're here on the planet? Why do we exist? Well, our big overarching purpose starts with a G. What is it? Glorify. Our biggest purpose in life is that we exist to glorify God in everything. We glorify God when we drink orange juice. We glorify God when we hang out around the campfire. We glorify God in the way that we listen to the Bible. We glorify God in the way that we cross the road. We glorify God in the words that come out of our mouth. We glorify God with everything, with our whole being. And so that's our overarching purpose. And in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10, we see that God has a big, big plan. What's God's big plan? His big plan is to bring everything under the rule and authority of Jesus. That's God's big plan. And the whole way through chapter 1, we keep seeing that it is to the praise of His glory. It is to the praise of His glory. It is to the praise of His glory. What's your biggest purpose in life? It's to live for God's glory. It's to seek to honor God. It's to seek to worship God. That's our big overarching purpose that we're looking at from the Bible this week. Monday night, we talked about one of the ways that we can glorify God is as we... Start with you. Come on. Who's awake? Give us a cheer if you're awake. Okay, this time I'm going to say, on Monday night, we looked at one of the ways we can glorify God is as we...
Gather.
Oh, that was terrible.
Gather.
I haven't asked for it yet. Wait. One of the ways that we can glorify God, on Monday night, we looked at...
Gather.
Wait, I have to give you the right word to introduce it. As we...
Gather.
Fantastic. As we gather. How have we been gathered? We've been gathered through the death and resurrection of Jesus. Jesus' blood shed on the cross for you gathers us as one people, as the people of God, as Christians. It's no longer about Jew. It's no longer about Gentile. It's no longer about race. It's no longer about gender. It's all about Jesus. And it's all about being one in Jesus. So Monday night we looked at gather. Tuesday morning, yesterday, we talked about...
Grow.
Grow. Oh, that was worse than the first time. We talked about one of God's purposes for us is to...
Grow.
Fantastic. Is to grow. Is to grow and become more like Jesus. Is to grow up. is to stop being a baby, stop being a toddler, stop being an infant, stop being a primary school student, to stop even being a high school student and become an adult. Become mature in the faith. Become like Jesus. To be godly. That's one of God's purposes for us. His overarching purpose is that we glorify Him. Monday night, we looked at the fact that we gather because of what He has done for us. Tuesday morning, we looked at the fact that we are to grow in godliness, and that is one of God's purposes for us. Today, what are we going to look at?
Give.
That was terrible. What are we going to look at today?
Excellent.
Today, we're going to talk about give. And what do I mean by give? I'm not just talking about the cash. I'm not just talking about the Benjamins. I'm talking about giving in service of others. Giving as a life of ministry is one of the key words we'll think of today. Ministry is when you serve God. Ministry is when you serve others. You serve as you serve others, you're serving God. We're going to talk about that more today. Tomorrow morning, we're going to talk about gospel. And as we think about gospel, we'll think about whether we believe it. And we'll be thinking about how we can proclaim it. Overarching purpose. 1, 2, 3. What is it?
Glorify.
1, 2, 3. Okay, we seek to glorify God in everything as we
give.
Gospel. And the underarching one, the big smile underneath it all, is that we do it gladly. Is that we do it with joy. Even in hard times, even when life sucks, even when life's tough, we seek to rejoice in Jesus. We seek to grow, gather, give gospel with gladness. And so we're going to talk about give. Because God's purpose for you is that you don't just rock up to church. You don't just come along to camp. You don't just go to the Christian group at your high school. God wants you to actually go there and give. God wants you to come here away on camp and give. Give of yourself. Give of your time. Give of your talents, your gifts. Give of your treasure. Give your money. God wants you to give and give and give in service of others. That is God's purpose for you. And so the key question I want you to keep in mind as we dig into Ephesians in a moment is how? How can I give in service of others? You might be thinking that because you're in Year 7 and you're the shortest person here. Or you might be thinking that because you're in Year 9 or Year 10 and you only just became a Christian. You might be thinking that because you're in Year 12 and you're really busy with the HSC coming up soon. Or you might be thinking that just because you just don't think you've been very gifted. You don't think you're really good at stuff. And so the question I'm going to answer is, how can I give in service of others? I want you to think about that for yourself. You might write that down. How can I give in service of others? In what way can I do ministry? In what way can I help other people out? In what way can I serve God? And so we've got four things we're going to talk about as we think about this question. How can I give in service of others? And the first thing, point number one. Point number one is the foundation for giving in service of others. You know who? Not just what, but who the foundation of giving in service of others is. It's Jesus. Jesus is the foundation for everything that we talk about this week. Everything that we should talk about all the time at church and youth group. Jesus is the foundation for the stuff that we're thinking about. Jesus is the foundation for us in thinking about how we are to give of ourselves in service of others. What I want you to quickly do, keep a finger in Ephesians chapter 4. And I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. It's after the Peters, but it's before Revelation. 1 John chapter 3. This would be a great memory verse to help you to remember everything we're going to be talking about today. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 16. You might write that down once you've got it. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. Here's what it says. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. You want to know what love is? You don't listen to the MTV You don't listen to pop songs. You don't check out websites to find out what love is. You want to find out what love is? You look at Jesus. How do we know what love is? Jesus laid down his life for us. Jesus laid down his life for you. I hope that you've heard me say this a few times. Every talk I have talked about Jesus. Every talk I have talked about what Jesus has done on the cross. And I hope you hear that every week. I hope that you preach that to yourself every day, that Jesus loves you and that Jesus died on the cross for you. He shows us just how great his love for us is by dying on that cross. Mark chapter 10, verse 45, don't look it up. It simply says that the Son of Man, Jesus, came not to be served. Mark chapter 10, verse 45, Jesus came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. What's going on here as we look at 1 John 3:16 and Mark chapter 10, verse 45? We see that Jesus is the servant. Jesus is the one who gives himself the best in service of others. Yeah, Jesus is the creator of the universe. Yet 2,000 years ago, he stepped onto our planet. And did he come to serve? Did he come to be served? No. He came to serve and to give his life up, to lay his life down upon that cross. He came to love us and love us in an incredible way. Because you know what? When you serve people, when you serve one another, when you help out at home with the dishes, when you help out at youth group with stacking the chairs, when you help out on camp by doing some orderlies, when you help out by hanging out with someone who no one else wants to talk to, you're loving. It's a way of loving. As you serve, you love. And Jesus has shown us what love really is by going the whole way, by laying down his life, by shedding his blood for you on the cross. What I want you to imagine for a second, pens down, eyes up. If someone's asleep beside you, give them a big slap in the face. Seriously, anytime you see someone sleeping, don't do it too hard. Just give them a little whack. Okay, what I want you to imagine for a second. Who's heard of Queen Elizabeth II? She's our queen. She's the Queen of Australia. Well, she's the Queen of the Commonwealth of England, and we're technically still a part of that. The Queen Elizabeth. What I want you to imagine is that Queen Elizabeth II came along to this camp tomorrow. Okay? And you were told, okay, you were told this beforehand, and so you packed your bags accordingly. What would you pack if the Queen was coming? You pack some good clothes. You pack some shoes that are a little bit shinier than normal. You'd make sure you brushed your hair. You'd remember to borrow your friend's toothbrush before you came out of your room and quickly clean your teeth. You'd really make sure that you're ready for action, ready to meet the Queen, because she's someone impressive. She's someone important. She's the Queen of a whole empire. Now, what I want you to imagine is we're lined up in two lines in this room, meeting the Queen, doing the Queen thing. You know how she sort of walks along slowly and sort of shakes your hand. And you have to be careful because you can shake your hand back, but you can't tap her on the shoulder. You can't. You don't want to do anything inappropriate with the Queen. Some Australian Prime Ministers have actually done some inappropriate things with the Queen by tapping them on the back and all sorts of things. Look that up on Wikipedia. Just write Queen, Australia, Prime Minister, and you'll find some funny stories. But that's for another time. Imagine the Queen is doing that, okay? We're meeting the Queen. Can you imagine as she's doing the, hello, how are you? I'm the Queen, what's your name? Hello, how are you? I'm the Queen, what's your name? Hello, how are you? You're the Queen, what's my name? Can you imagine her doing that? Okay, I can imagine her doing that. That's what the Queen does. When you see her on television, when you see her at civic events, when you see her at opening ceremonies, she does that type of stuff. But can you imagine us lined up in two lines down this hall, and as the Queen gets to the very first person, she doesn't put her hand out to shake it. She hikes up her skirt, hops down on her knees, grabs a bucket of water, grabs a towel, takes off your shoes. You've got filthy feet underneath because you forgot to have a shower. And she washes your feet. I'm struggling to picture that. It just looks weird to me. Seeing the Queen hop down on her knees, seeing the Queen try to clean my feet. That's just weird. It's weird because it just looks weird, but it's weird because that's not what kings and queens do. Kings and queens don't stoop down and wash grotty kid feet. Kings and queens don't do that. I reckon the queen, if she wanted it, she could have someone to wash her own feet. She could employ someone who's just called foot washer. Foot washer, now. And she'd call them over there and then. She probably doesn't even wash her own feet. It is difficult to imagine her washing people's feet and stooping down in such a way. Do you know what? Jesus, not just the king of a country or an empire or a commonwealth, Jesus, the king of the universe, he steps onto our planet, he stoops down onto his knees, and he washes his disciples' feet. John chapter 13, you can read that. We'll be thinking about that more tonight. Jesus stoops down and serves in a humiliating way. He humiliates himself for the sake of the other. And you know what? Ultimately, at the cross, what Jesus is doing is doing the biggest foot wash ever. As Jesus dies on the cross, he is cleansing us, he is washing us, he is serving us, he is loving us as he dies upon that cross. You know, I'm talking about this for a couple of minutes because this is important. We need to recognize who Jesus is. We need to recognize what Jesus has done, and we need to trust him, our servant king, who gave his life as a ransom for us. But did you see what the second half of 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 says? Have a look down. Talk to the person beside you. It's the second half of 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. You've got 10 seconds. Have a look at it. I want someone to shout it out. Okay, well, what does it say? I can hear it starting to come out. That we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. See what it's saying? The model that we have for how we serve each other is Jesus. Jesus lays down his life for us on the cross. And we ought to also lay down our lives for each other. That is, deny ourselves, deny our own rights. That's pretty much what your leaders are doing this week. Your teachers are doing that this week. They don't have to come here. They don't have to be here. They're denying themselves. They're getting dirty. They're stooping down to serve you. I want you to think for a moment. Does that describe you? Are you someone who's willing to be inconvenienced to serve someone else? To actually deny yourself and your own rights and your own pleasures and your own comforts and your own holidays or annual leave and serve other people. Before we move on to point two, and before we think about doing stuff, because remember yesterday I had that diagram up on the screen. Good works do not lead to salvation. Doing good stuff will not get you saved. Because you're saved, that you'll do good stuff. I don't want you to think that because you are doing ministry, because you are serving other people, that makes you a Christian. I want you to know that you're a Christian and then start serving other people. So for some of you here this week, you might need to become a Christian. The take-home message for you this morning, yesterday, Monday night, tomorrow, tonight, the take-home message for you is not I've got to do stuff, but I've got to trust someone. I've got to trust Jesus. I've got to become a Christian. If that's you, I would love to talk to you. I would love to pray with you. Talk to your teacher. They would love to pray with you. That'd be awesome if someone became a Christian this week as they heard the good news of Jesus' death and resurrection, the good news of Jesus laying down his life for us. There's the first point. It's important to talk about that. The foundation for giving in service of others is Jesus. Okay, back to Ephesians. Second point. One of the things that you see in Ephesians chapter 4 is that we are one body with many parts and with many gifts. We are one body. Remember, we talked about it on the first night. We've been gathered as the one body, but there's diversity. We're united, but we're different. We have different skills, we have different abilities, we have different roles, we have different functions, we have different talents. Have a look at chapter 4, verse number 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 4. What's it say? It says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you're called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father over all, who is over all and through all and in all. Jesus, did you see that? There's a repeated word a few times in there. One, one, one. Every third word was one, one. We have been called together as one. We have been united as one. You have been united and gathered together through the death and resurrection of Jesus as one body. Yeah, no longer multiple bodies, no longer Jew and Gentile, no longer male or female, but one body with one God, with one Spirit, with one Lord, with one Father. We are one body. Yet Jesus, he gives many gifts, and he gives different gifts to his church. Have a look at verse number 7. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Now the word grace there, it's slightly different from the word grace in chapter 2. The word grace there means gifts, grace gifts. God has given talents, gifts to his church. God has given talents and abilities and giftings to every single one of you here. We're part of the one body, but there's many different gifts. Look at the person beside you. Everyone look at the person beside you. Look on your left, look on your right, look in front of you, look behind you. Okay, you might look similar, or you might look very different. But on the inside, the gifts that you've got, the abilities that you've got, the passions that you've got, they're different. We're one, but we're different. Jesus has given different gifts to every single member of his body, to every single member of his church. Have a look at verse number 8. This is why it says, when Jesus ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What's verse 7 and 8 saying? It's saying Jesus has given gifts to the church. Jesus has given gifts to every single one of us. Have a look at verse 11. He lists a couple more gifts, some specific gifts that he talks about here. Verse 11, chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 11. Make sure you've got your Bibles open and you can see this. It was Jesus who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. You see, he lists a couple. These are just a couple of the gifts that he's listed at the moment. Jesus has given those to his church. There's many more gifts. The Bible doesn't have some exhaustive list of every single gift possible, but the Bible does have a bunch of lists of different gifts that God has given. We're going to read a couple of those. We're going to read a couple of those because you might see things in the Bible and you go, I think God has gifted me in that way. I think that might be a gift that God has given to me. So we're going to do a little bit of Bible surfing. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to do this really quickly. So make sure you can see the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. If you don't have it yet, just make sure you listen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. There's a whole bunch of different gifts that are mentioned there. We're going to keep going. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 6. Only a couple of pages to your left. Romans chapter 12, verse 6. Make sure you're writing these down as well. It would be good to look them up later. It would be good to refer back to them when you're reflecting at the end of camp or after camp. So the first one was 1 Corinthians 12, 7 to 11. 1 Corinthians 12, 7 to 11, the one we're going to look at now, Romans chapter 12. There's people talking. Romans chapter 12, verse 6 to verse 8. I'm going to read that one. Romans chapter 12, verse 6 to verse 8. We have different gifts according to the grace, that's a similar word as used in Ephesians 4, given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. There's a bunch more. We're not going to talk about them all. Let's keep going. One more passage. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. It's near 1 John, which we looked at the start. I hope you've still got a finger in Ephesians. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 10 and 11. Each one should use whatever gift he has received, how? To serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. You got the point? I've just read out four lists of different gifts that God has given to his church. What's the point? You can go back to Ephesians 4. We'll look at that again in a moment. But what's the point? What's the point? We are one. We are the one body. But Jesus has given each and every single one of us different gifts. Different grace gifts. He's kindly given them. And he's given them to us. Now, the best way to illustrate this is just for a moment, I want you to look up. You don't need to write anything down. I want you to look up. If you're not looking up, and if the person beside you is not looking up, give them a slap. Awesome. Okay, the best way to think of this is to think of the human body. 1 Corinthians 12 actually does this. The human body. I want you to think about it. How many bodies have I got?
One.
I've got one body. How many bodies have you got?
One.
One each. Yeah, we've got one body. Someone said they've got two. There you go. Weird. I've got one body. I've got a left hand and I've got a right hand. They do different things. I've got a right foot and a sore tailbone. They do different things. I've got an ear. I've got an esophagus. I've got a hip. I've got a knee. I've got a nose. I've got an eye. I've got all sorts of different things. They're united in that they're part of the one body. Dave. But they're different in that they've got different roles and different functions to perform. It's that 1 Corinthians 12 says that exact thing. The body is the best example of this. We are one body. We all belong to Jesus. We all belong to the Spirit of God. But we've got many different parts. We've got many different functions. I thought I'd quickly bring up to you my favourite cartoon from the 1980s called Voltron. Has anyone heard of Voltron?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, about one of you, three of you, four, five of you. Voltron was cool. There was these dudes and they were part of Voltron and each of them had a different role. So this was Lance, he was the head, and they each joined together and they became incredible. What's that? Transformers wannabe. This was around before Transformers. This Transformers is a Voltron wannabe. Anyway, different parts of the body joined to different parts, different members join together and form one body to work together as a team, to work together as a unit. There's the picture that's going on in 1 Corinthians 12. There's the picture that's going on here in Ephesians 4. What I want you to do right now is I want you to recognize two things. I want you to recognize, number one, you're part of a body. Romans chapter 12, verse number 5 says that you are part of the one body Therefore, we belong to each other. I want you to recognize that you are part of one body. But secondly, I want you to recognize this morning that you have been gifted by God. I want you to write that down. Jesus has gifted me. If you're a Christian, Jesus has given you gifts. Write it down in big letters. You are gifted.
Yeah.
I don't know. People may have told you before in your life that you're a failure. You're never going to make it. You'll never get into the soccer team. You'll never get the right HSC mark. You'll never be anything in life. Jesus says he has gifted everyone. He may not have given you soccer skills. He may not have given you HSC skills. He may not have given you computer hacking skills. He may not have given you any of those things, but you have been uniquely gifted. You may not have the same gifts as the person on your left. You may not have the same gifts as the person on your right. We're different. We're part of the one body, but you have been gifted by Jesus. I just want you to recognize that this morning. So there's the second thing, one body with many parts. Many gifts. The third thing I want to show you from Ephesians chapter 4 is that these gifts that Jesus has given to each of us have a purpose. And that purpose is that they are to grow the church. They are to build up the church. They are to strengthen the body. They are to build it up in unity. So the gifts that you have been given to you for a purpose. Not to make yourself great. Not to be awesome on the sporting field, not to be awesome in the HSC, but to build up the church, to build up the body of Jesus, to build up the body of Christ, to build one another up in love. And so in verse number 11, Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about a bunch of gifts that have been given, and each of those gifts have been given to equip everyone else to serve each other. Have a look at verse 12. I'll show you what I mean. Verse 11 again. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. Why? Verse 12. To prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. The reason why any gift has been given is all about building up the body of Christ. So that, number 13, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then, verse 14, we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Jesus, who is the head, that is, Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. What's the point? If you've been gifted by God, which you have, the purpose of your gifts, the purpose of the talents that God has given you, are for everyone else, are for giving in service of others, that we build up the body, that we mature, that we become united, that we don't lack anything, and that we are complete. You see, you belong to each other. We've been gathered, we belong to each other, and as those who belong to each other, we are to serve each other. I just want you to think for a moment. One, have you recognized that God's given you gifts? But two, are you using gifts? Are you using the gifts that God has given you to build up the church? To build up your brothers and sisters in Jesus? Are you doing that? Are you doing that? Remember on the first night, I finished with a story about the SAS. Anyone remember what it was about? About how they trained. Yeah.
One suffers and the whole team suffers.
Yeah, if one goes down, the whole team suffers. And so what do they do during training?
Carry
they push each other along. And I heard another one.
Carry
each other. Oh, I reckon that SAS illustration, where we push each other along, where we carry each other, is all about gathering and giving in service of each other, pushing each other along, supporting each other, serving each other, holding one another up, building one another up, so that we be mature, so that we be fit, so that we be ready to serve God and mature in God. Again, have you recognized that you're gifted? Because you are. And are you using those gifts to build up one another? Or are you being selfish and serving yourself rather than serving Jesus and serving his people? The final thing, number four. It's really a question. And it's a question I hope you've been thinking about as we've been talking about giftedness. It's a question I've definitely been thinking about as I've thought about Ephesians 4. The question is, how do I know my gifts? The fourth point on the outline there, how do I know my gifts? Because as I've said and as Jesus says in the Bible, you're uniquely gifted by God. And so some of you might be obvious. You're just an encourager. You're awesome. When you're out there with the high swing, you're awesome at just encouraging people. You're awesome week by week as you gather together, just encouraging other people. Keep going. Keep trusting in Jesus. Keep living for him. Or maybe you're a good leader and you actually gather groups of people together and are able to offer some direction. Or maybe you're a good teacher. Maybe you don't have to be up the front to be a good teacher. You can actually just do it with one other person or a few other people as you teach them about Jesus, as you talk to them about what Jesus has done, as you apply the scriptures to their lives. You know, some of you may have already worked out what your gifts are. Some people here may not have worked it out, but you can see a gift in them. And it's an obvious gift in them. But for lots of us, we often don't know how we're gifted. And so it might take a bit of time to discover it. And so I reckon one of the best ways to discover whether you're gifted is to look for needs. So in this youth ministry, in your church, where are the needs? And you go, look, I'm going to put my hand up. I'm going to help out there. I'm going to serve. And you might work out you're suck at it. You keep trying because there's a need there. But you might find something that you're just really good at, that God's uniquely gifted you in. You might be involved in kids' church, children's ministry, and helping little kids to know Jesus. You might be good at stacking chairs, and you do that every week at youth group. Look for needs, fill them, and in doing so, eventually, you're going to discover just how God has gifted you. And I think we often think of ministry and giftedness as glamorous. That is, it's the speaker up the front, it's the guitarist, it's the drummer, it's the person running the camp. No, it's not just about upfront things. They're not the only ways that you can serve. They're just one of the ways that you can serve. There are so many ways that you can serve. There are so many ways that you can inconvenience yourself for the sake of others. Like taking out the rubbish. That is a way of serving the body. Like cleaning the tables after a meal. Not even when you're not on orderlies. Just serving and helping out. Picking up someone else's rubbish is a way of serving. You know, I didn't put it there, I'm not going to pick it up. No, you just pick it up and you put it in the bin. Stacking the chairs. Maybe it's talking with someone who you're not friends with at school who comes to church. Because often we just hang out with the people we go to school with or hang out with the people in our year group. Maybe if you're in year 11, you might actually encourage someone in year 7. No one's going to see that from the front. You're not going to get given a certificate. Well done, Captain Encourager. But that is a way of serving. And serving in ways that maybe no one else will see it. But do you know who will see it? And do you know the one who rewards you? God. God is the one who sees the things that we do. God is the one who sees you take the rubbish out. You don't take the rubbish out. You don't walk up to the back of the wall there and go, hey guys, I'm taking the rubbish out. How good am I? I'm such a humble servant. You don't do that. You just quietly go up there and you take the rubbish out. It's not about look at me, look at me, look at me, look at what I'm doing. It's about serving. It's about building up the body. It's about being inconvenienced. It's about using the gifts that God has given you. It's about seeing needs and filling them. I'm going to close with another scientific story. I heard you love my story about the magnifying glass the other night. This is another story that's scientific, so bear with me in my explanation of it. But there was this dude. That's my scientific word so far.
Dude.
500 years ago, there was this dude named Copernicus. And Copernicus came up with this thing called the heliocentric something. Revolutionary thingy. Heliocentric. I can't remember what it was called. I forgot to write it down. Is anyone? Yeah, what's it called? Is that again? The heliocentric model. Okay, that's awesome. He's gifted in science. Basically, Copernicus came up with the theory that rather than the Earth being at the center of the universe, or the center of our solar system, he said, no, the sun is actually at the center of the solar system. And everyone thought this dude was a goon. Everyone thought this guy was a loony. Everyone thought this dude was a nutbag. They're going, Copernicus, you're so stupid. What are you talking about? The sun revolves around us. He's like, no, I think that the sun is actually at the center and the earth is revolving around it. You know what? I think he died and he was never proven right during his life, but later on it was worked out, as we now know, that he was quite accurate in that the sun is at the center of our solar system and we are the ones, the earth, is going around it. What I want you to recognize this morning is that you are not at the center of the universe. Jesus, the Son, S-O-N, is at the center of the universe. And everything is revolving around Him. Everything is about Him. And so this morning, I want you to see that Jesus is at the center of the universe. And I want you to live a life to serve Him. Not to serve yourself, but to serve Him. And as you serve Him, you will serve each other. You will build each other up. You'll encourage each other. You'll spur one another on. You'll take out the rubbish. You'll play the guitar. You'll be the teacher. You'll be the encourager. You'll clean up after someone else's mess. You'll stack the chairs. You'll encourage. You'll serve. And it'll all be about Jesus. And it will all be about building up His body, the church. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. And it's about His body. So the question I asked at the start, I'm going to pray in a moment. The question I asked at the start, what was it? Did anyone write it down? Top of your page. How can I give in service of others? Number one, recognize that God's purpose for you is to give yourself in service of others. If you're a Christian, this is not negotiable. You've got to serve. You've got to give yourself. Number two, recognize that you have been gifted by God. Jesus Himself has given you gifts. Number three, recognize that those gifts are to be used to build up the rest of the body. And number four, just do it. Don't wait for permission to someone say, you're now allowed to serve us. Just do it. Serve each other. Encourage each other. Build each other up. And we do it not out of a duty of, oh, I've got to serve you. That sucks. We do it gladly. Yeah? That's our underarching purpose. We gladly rejoice as we serve, as we encourage. I'm going to pray that this community will be one that gives itself in serving one another. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Jesus, that He came not to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. We praise You for Him. We thank You that we know what love is because He has shown it to us on the cross. And we pray that as those who trust in Him, as those who are following Him, that You'd help us to lay down our lives for each other. I pray for this community here. I pray that they would recognize their oneness, that they are part of the one body. But they'd also recognize that there are differences between each person and each member of that body. And please help all of these guys to recognize the gifts that You've given them and to just do it, to serve each other, to love each other, to pray with each other, to build each other up, to seek to mature each other to become more like Jesus. And we pray that as we talk about each day, that we would be glad as we do this, that we would serve with joy, that we would encourage with joy, that we build one another up with joy. And it's in Jesus' great name that we pray. Amen.